A refined design for a five-story multi-use building in Uptown Normal is going to the Normal Town Council next week. Plus, the town hires a new assistant city manager. That person's boss joins us to talk about those and other issues facing the town. City Manager Pam Reese says there was a strong pool of candidates to hire Eric Hansen as assistant city manager.
Eric really stepped to the top and rose to the top and was overwhelmingly supported by staff as a top candidate because of the breadth of experience he has. I really believe he's going to sort of fill in the gaps of our skill set where we might have gaps and help complement the leadership team.
What gaps?
Well, he has served as city administrator and city manager in a couple other communities, so he certainly understands the broad experiences and issues that we face. The other thing is he has had a significant experience in economic development issues, and Sally Heffernan, our economic development director, is going to be retiring soon. So Eric will be able to fill some of those gaps where Sally has assisted us. And he has some experience in collective bargaining and personnel matters. And those sorts of things, I think, will really complement the team.
Well, you have had long experience in collective bargaining, handling that for a number of years for the town. Is this a move towards succession planning with both that particular area and Sally's area?
Of course, that's always in the back of my mind in terms of what happens, who can step in if I'm out. That is certainly a goal. I think if things work out, I want to be able to set the organization up for success. If I should choose to retire down the road, I plan to be here for a while. But I do think it's my role as the city manager and the leader of the organization to help set us up long term and bring in folks who can take over if need be or who could step into leadership positions. But in terms of what the future looks like when collective bargaining, for example, as city manager, I won't be directly involved in that. So it is important to have a team of people who can pick up that ball and run with it, but I will be there to guide and advise.
What other structural shifts are you making? You previously, under Mark Peterson, had the job of deputy city manager, so you were HR director, you handled collective bargaining, you handled a lot of different things, you wore several different hats. This is an assistant city manager position, so it's more limited in scope. What are you contemplating in a shift in organizational structure under with this new hire?
We had an opportunity when I was promoted to the city manager job to promote someone else to become the human resources director. Jenny Keir has taken on that role, and she's done a fantastic job. And that, again, is another example of being able to promote individuals and prepare them for leadership. So that human resources director responsibility was taken off the plate of the assistant city manager. And so we've changed titles a little bit to reflect that. In terms of assistant city manager, it truly is a number two in the organization. So it's somebody who can have an internal focus, work with department heads and departments on a daily basis for operations support, but also assist me. And part of the role of being the number two in the organization is to help set the city council and the city manager up for success. And I think we'll be a good team.
With, as you mentioned, Sally Heffernan's coming retirement and the new hire who has economic development background, how do you foresee the new pattern working between EDC, between Chamber of Commerce, between City of Bloomington and the Town of Normal on economic development? How does the coordination shift or alter?
I think moving forward it's going to be very coordinated. It may not have always been very coordinated in recent history, but I think between the City of Bloomington and the Town of Normal and McLean County, we want to look at more cooperative and even regional approaches in economic development. And I think the future of the Economic Development Council also will support that. The EDC board is right now going through the transition of their director position. And I think once they get that resolved, we'll see that we are all partnering to the same result. And I think what we'll see is an approach of a rising tide raises all ships. So we'll have to work together.
What do you think the EDC should be doing in re-envisioning and restructuring that director position?
Well, the board right now is evaluating how to move forward and what kind of skill sets they're looking to recruit. And I serve as an ad hoc member of the board, but I feel like the executive board should talk about that specifically in terms of their timeline and what they're looking for. But I do believe that they're going to be recruiting a director who is going to be focusing a lot on retention and growth of existing businesses, as well as recruitment of new businesses. And in order to do that, they will be working closely with both Bloomington Normal and McLean County.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us today is the city manager of Normal, Pam Reese. Next week, the town is going to take up the design of the Trail East project. Tell us a little bit about that, would you?
Certainly. The Trail East project is a project that 1 year ago we sought proposals for and went to council and selected Bush Construction out of Iowa to coordinate the development of another multi-use building. This one would be on the northeast quadrant of the circle. And it's one of the reasons that we asked all of the taxing bodies last May to support an extension of the TIF benefits for another 12 years so that we could focus on developing the area of Uptown that has yet to be developed, specifically the northeast and northwest quadrants of the circle. It's a five-story multi-use facility, and we are going to council Monday night with the concept design. The designs and the entire information, all the information in our council report will be available today online, in fact, on the town's website if people want to look up the photos and the concept sketches. Basically, a similar complementary design to the existing developed areas on the circle, meaning Uptown Station, Children's Discovery Museum, and One Uptown on the Circle, with the first floor being retail and about 13,000 square feet of that space being a food hall concept. Floors 2, 3, and 4 are intended to be commercial, and as I understand it, most of that space is already under a letter of intent to lease, be leased. And then the top floor is a number of residential units. I'm not sure if they will be condos or apartments, but I believe there were 17 beds and 8 specific units on the fifth floor. Farnsworth Group is intended to be one of the tenants on the space. I'm not sure if they're going to be the second floor or third floor. Bush Development has also indicated that they have another large user taking an entire floor, and that would be a corporate user, and then a tech company using some space on the fourth floor.
There had been some doubt whether the project would include the Windy City Wieners building. That is now in the project.
When we went to council in October with a redevelopment agreement, the project consisted only of the properties that the town already owns, municipally owned properties, which incorporated the parking lot, 104 and 108 East Buford. And 106 at that time, which is the home of Windy City Wieners, was not included because the town did not own that. Since October, Bush Development has worked with Windy City Wieners and has a letter of intent, or whatever it's called, I don't know, to acquire 106. And as I understand, Windy City intends to be a tenant in the new Trail East building.
Will that work with a food hall?
I think so. As I understand it, they've already been talking in terms of what the food hall intends to focus on and how Windy Cities can complement that. The food hall concept at this point is focusing quite a bit on international cuisine, is also talking about having a marketplace of for local smaller entrepreneurs, maybe, for example, people who might be selling their homemade goods of such as soaps or candles and such, or even produce. So I think there are some synergies there, and I know that both the Windy City Wieners owners and the food hall developer have been in conversation.
The other major issue with the Trail East project is the mural on the wall of the building that is at the end of the row of buildings. And there had been some sense that some people thought it was worth preserving, other people did not think it was worth preserving or practical to preserve it. Is that issue getting close to resolution?
Well, yes, in a way.
That's a no. Okay.
The mural has been quite a discussion topic in public settings, even in private settings, even in the grocery store aisles and such. The mural is experiential. A lot of people, it's a place where people take photographs. It's memorable. It's not certainly in the same condition as when it was originally painted in 2011. So there are those who believe that the mural is crumbling and such because the wall, frankly, is not in good shape, the brick wall. As the staff told council, at some point that brick wall is going to need to be tuck pointed. So the mural would have to come off at some point in order to tuck point the brick, if the brick wall were to remain. And frankly, the wall of 104 East Buford was never intended to be an exterior wall for long. It was always adjacent to a building up until about 2007. So it had served as basically an interior wall or a protected wall for many years.
So the brick used is not weather durable as some other kinds of brick.
It certainly requires significant maintenance. But
and a mural, by its nature, is paint. It's not a fresco, and it's not a 100-year kind of thing. So what's going to happen?
Well, staff has always been under the planning to demolish the mural when the wall is demolished. When 104 comes down and is raised, we thought the mural would come with it. And we still believe that. But we have been in contact by some of the artists who participated in the project in painting the mural back in 2011. And we've been notified that they believe that the mural is protected by the Visual Artist Rights Act. It's V-A-R-A. And it's a federal act. And at this point, we're under review of whether or not the mural should be protected under that act.
So when will that determination be made?
Well, I think it's going to be made rather quickly. But in order to preserve our situation, basically, we don't want to delay the developer's project, and we also don't want to violate any laws of which we may fall under. The staff has asked the city council next Monday night, we're asking them to authorize staff to negotiate an agreement to remove and relocate the mural if needed, and then
if
seek
it qualifies under this act.
Correct. And then seek reimbursement from the former tenants, because the tenants who occupied the space had a signed lease agreement indemnifying the town under certain conditions, and we would invoke that indemnification clause and seek reimbursement if we were required to move it.
So the town doesn't want to pay for the preservation of the mural. So the artists who put it up and the artists' co-op leaseholders would have to pay for it. How much would that be?
Well, the proposal that we've received has quite a broad range in terms of cost. The process involves sandwiching the mural on both the interior of the wall and the exterior of the wall, demolishing the building around it to preserve that part of the wall, and then lifting it and moving it. So it's a big range. So the number we have is anywhere from $56,000 to $82,000.
So you'd be moving an unsupported brick wall.
Well, I think the individuals who move it are in the business of historic preservation, so they would find some way to support it. But in order to move it, I don't know, there's a bunch of professionals that are involved in restoration. But again, it's a big range. So $55,000 to $102,000 is quite a big range of dollars, plus transportation costs.
And the former leaseholders are okay with the concept of this agreement?
We have not communicated with the former leaseholders. I don't have specific way to communicate with one or two of the leaseholders, and so we will be communicating with a legal representative of one of our former leaseholders. But there were four individuals who signed the lease, so at this point we would have to explore how to get in contact with everyone. So what we're asking council right now is, because time is of the essence and because we want to allow the developer to move forward at their pace, if possible, we're asking council that if needed down the road prior to March and April, we would move and relocate the mural if we had to. We still don't believe we have to, but we're just asking for this as an option.
So you would relocate even if you don't know whether they can pay for it?
We would relocate if we felt that that was our legal obligation, and then we would attempt to seek reimbursement. Whether or not we'd be successful in reimbursement just depends on the assets, and that would be some sort of lawsuit, I'm sure.
So one of the leaseholders is one of the parties invoking this visual act.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what have they said about this concept?
Well, our attorney is going to be in contact with her attorney. We have had minimal communications in recent months, but we hope that we will be talking soon once they find out that we're going to be doing this as an option.
So if you have to, you'll move it. If you don't have to, you won't move it and demolition will continue.
True. That is true. In the end result, you know, I've felt all along that, and I've shared this with the city council, that I think the purpose of the mural has been to bring people together. It's experiential. It provides a photo opportunity. It's something memorable. And I think there's ways that we can recreate that experience in Uptown. And so that will be our challenge. If we can somehow include public art or some sort of artistic experience where people have a similar opportunity to take pictures or enjoy that opportunity and make it memorable, I think we can do that.
If you have to preserve it, where would it go?
Yet to be determined. We would not put it up in a park or anything like that. I mean, honestly, we still believe the wall has a very strong chance of crumbling. But we would, if legally obligated to, we would do our best.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker with Pam Reese, the city manager of the town of Normal. How did 2018 treat the town, and what are you looking forward to in 2019?
2018, I think, was a great year. Certainly, we went through a number of transitions, the biggest being the retirement of Mark Peterson, our former long-tenured and well-respected city manager. And so for the organization, that was a big change. We also worked hard on a number of initiatives, and I think that those are going to benefit the town. One thing that we did this year was we adopted the Welcoming City Ordinance. I think that helped build relationships between the town, the police department, and a number of residents. We adopted a multifamily recycling ordinance, which is going to go into effect in August of 2019. So it was a busy year. It was a productive year. It was a little bit challenging because it was a year where we experienced the loss of a number of positions, which we cut in our budget. But we were still able to accomplish a lot of things, and so I'm very proud of that.
And 2019, more budget challenges ahead. Although the third quarter results on sales tax were encouraging, sales tax moving forward will still be a challenge. Pension costs will remain a challenge because of the increasing amount that the town is going to be required to put toward that. This year it wasn't so much of a challenge because it was offset by the savings from those position cuts. Mm-hmm. But how much will that impact the town in this next year?
Well, certainly pension funding for the town and for all municipalities is continuing to be a challenge. And I think we're going to have to look to the state to find some sort of assistance and solutions to that. In regard to what the town's budget looks like or our financial position in 2019, we're coming into 2019 in a strong position. Our general fund reserves are at our target of 15%, which is great. We do have some concerns, although the sales tax proceeds for the last quarter were good, very good. We don't feel that that's something we can rely on happening regularly. So we are still coming at our revenues with a very conservative perspective. And so I think the cuts we went through in these last 24 months or so in our budget, we cut positions, we cut programs, have really been positive and kept us on a good path. The concern is that long-term, it's difficult to take on more projects and such with our staffing cuts that we went through. So we'll have to make sure that we prioritize and that we continue to be financially strong, yet fiscally responsible and able to do everything we want to do.
Pam Reese is the city manager of the town of Normal. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.